I want to talk this morning, continue my series on Colossians this week and probably next week as well. And this book really works out well coming up to Christmas. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 2. And the title of my message this morning is Be Wise with Those Outside. Be Wise with Those Outside. And I'm talking about outside the church. And in Colossians 4, verse 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Don't forget to pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to preach about his secret plan, that Christ is also for you Gentiles. That would be us in today's language. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely. Say this with me. Live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and effective so that you will have the right answer to everyone. And so this morning, the text falls into two parts. Verse 2 to 4, the first part has to do with our indirect involvement in spreading the gospel through praying for the people on the front line. Paul refers to himself in this respect. In the modern day church, it would be pastors or those on the mission field. And the second part has to do with our direct involvement in making the most of every opportunity we have to spread the gospel. In other words, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first this morning, our indirect involvement through prayer. You know, guys, it's great to pray for those who are outside the church. It's great to pray for those who don't know Christ, who are your friends. It's great in this respect to pray. I think of one of my own friends that I happened to bump into the other day at the shop. And I thought, I couldn't help but say, Lord, is there a way that we can have a conversation this Christmas? And so you already start to engage your spirit so that you can invite some of these people into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just be yourself, but be prayerful. Amen. And so one of the reasons we may feel weak in our prayer life is we try and make a domestic intercom out of a wartime intercom. We've got to go to war for our friends. And I want to talk about a little bit this morning, because prayer is not designed as an intercom between us and God to serve the domestic comfort of the saints. Oh, Lord, will you just help me along with that particular issue in my life? Lord, you know, I could do with a little help in this area. And yes, we can pray for that, but that's not what prayer is really designed for. It's designed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to turn to in a short moment, just get the YouTube ready, please, AJ. It is, because I want to talk about prayer in this sense. Look, and it's a text, it really fits this text really well. It is designed as a walkie-talkie for spiritual battlefields. Can anyone say amen? It's designed as something that it comes into our heart and we desire to see our friends, our colleagues. And sure, they may not come to church first time, but we can start a relationship of them stepping closer into what God has for them. And so I think that's a really cool thing. And so I want to show a little YouTube this morning, a little war movie. Thanks. Let's turn the lights off here.
Any time, sweetheart?
I'm sure you're alright.
Okay.
Hold on.
Pretty good. Another
assault.
Just thought I'd get you in the mood. You want to watch that movie? It's called The Rain Is Coming. And prayer is a link between active soldiers and their command headquarters. With its unlimited firepower and air cover, you saw him go, "Can you please get us out of here?" There's strategic wisdom that comes from when we pray. And this is the spirit of prayer Paul is wanting us to capture. The kind of prayer that busts open doors. Look at this in Colossians 4, verse 2 to 4. Pray diligently. Say it with me. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ. Even while I'm locked up in this jail, pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ as plain as day to them. So Paul, Timothy, Aristarchus, and Epaphras are a unique team of stormtroopers in the spiritual battle to recapture the hearts of men for God. And they have made a strike on the enemy lines, and they've have met a tremendous counterforce. And Paul and Aristarchus are prisoners of war. And it looks as though the enemy has a tactical victory in his pocket. But Paul manages to smuggle a letter out of the prison camp to some soldiers stationed at the rear. That's the Colossians. And in the letter, he asks them to get on their walkie-talkie, call command headquarters, and ask headquarters to fire a missile that will blast open a door in the prison and the enemy's front line so that Paul and his squad can get out and on with their mission of releasing the gospel and taking the power of Satan out of people's world and returning them to their Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the point is, the soldiers to the rear with the walkie-talkie of prayer are extremely crucial in the frontline success of evangelism. Every person in the house of God, it is extremely important that we are prayed up and ready to see people give their lives to Christ. Every week, it's so important that we are in tune with what God has for us. And also, Paul is saying, will you please pray for me? Because I need all the help I can get. I can't do this on my own. So how to pray? Well, the Bible says, diligently, persistently, devote yourselves. Prayer is unlike a mobile phone, where the more that you use it, what happens? The battery goes. The more you use prayer, the more you get stoked up. The more you use prayer, the more you come alive on the inside. The more you use prayer, the more you see how God can move in your friend's life. Prayer increases the power the more it gets used. And if you want to have a crucial role as a soldier for Christ, who'd like to be a soldier for Christ? Not just have a relationship, but actually a soldier for Christ. And whether you make the front lines or not, we can all pray. A Frio Christmas art exhibition. I'm looking forward to inviting some of my friends in the next week or so. They can have an amazing opportunity through our prayers leading up to this event on the 18th to the 20th of December. It can change a lot of things. It can shift people's hearts. And so you need to keep your walkie-talkie with you all day. You need to be patched into the line of heaven through Christ. You need to keep it in the on position. And asking again and again for opportunities. And this should not just be an event for an event, but always. Ask God for opportunities. How important are those around you? Without prayer, they probably don't mean much in the sense of their eternal destiny. But with prayer, God is able to change our spirit, and we have a mission to see them come into the kingdom of God. Second, it says watchfully. Pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open. The enemy knows the danger of these walkie-talkies. He will try and jam the airways by filling the atmosphere of our lives with the clutter of non-essentials. He steals the transmitter by deceiving us that it's broken and it won't work. We sleep too long because we maybe did something non-essential the night before. And the only way to get victory over Satan's devices is to be watchful. Vigilance must mark our spiritual lives every day. And without our eyes being wide open to what Christ sees in others around us, we are sitting ducks for Satan's constant barrage. Thirdly, thankfully, eyes wide open in gratitude. Watchfulness and vigilance might signify a lot of heart thumping, perspiring, and nail biting. And the normal experience for a Christian who is praying diligently and watchfully is the sense that the command headquarters in heaven is in control. And progress is being made on all strategic fronts. The battle is the Lord's. And all the devices of the enemy, Jesus and Satan in the wilderness, when he was on the cross, at the tomb, they were all won by Christ. And he is leading us to a great victory in heaven. And woven through our walkie-talkie requests for fire cover are sentences like these. Nice shot, sir. Thank you. Wow, I didn't realize that would happen. That's so cool, God. We made it through. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't expecting that, but wow, that's just better than what I even expected. And when Paul says that our praying is to be done with thanksgiving, he means that we should keep our eyes on the victory of God. Anyone here like to have their eyes focused on the victories of God today? So we do not fight as losers or even those who are uncertain. We know God will win. We know God will win. So what to pray? Firstly, Paul talks about... Maybe we want to upset the bikies behind us this morning. That's all right. Pray for the stormtroopers. Don't forget to pray for us. Don't forget to pray for me. Don't forget to pray for the leaders of the church. Don't forget to pray for those on the mission. How important is it? Well, the Bible says it's really important. See, all Christians are soldiers. And God has called some people to give most of their time to direct gospel warfare. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a natural battle. It's very different. Leading the house of God. And we all have walkie-talkies, but there is a difference of assignment on the battlefield. And he has given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And Paul says all Christians should use their walkie-talkies. For the sake of the stormtroopers, everyone should have pastors and people on mission that they regularly pray for. So if you don't have anyone to pray for, start praying for us this morning. Start praying for Andrew and I. If you haven't been praying for your leadership, start praying for the key leaders around you. It might be Charlie and Helen. Might be some of the key leaders over the departments. Start praying for them. It makes a big difference to the battle that is to be won. And Paul, throughout the epistles, asks for prayer for himself and his team at least 7 times that I could find. And Paul also says that he is praying for them 15 times, them being the people in the church. Secondly, pray for openings for the gospel opportunities. Normal soldiers are praying that doors will open to the word of God through the stormtroopers. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says this, there is a wide open door for a great work here. And many people are responding, but there are many who oppose me. 2 Corinthians 2:12, when I came to Troas, a door was opened for me in the Lord. And in Revelation 3:8, it says, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. And Jesus is speaking with the church of Philadelphia in Revelation. And so we can pray for these opportunities, for the mystery of Christ to be made plain. The Message Bible, it says, open doors for telling the mystery of Christ. The gospel is not a mystery because it's confusing. It's a mystery because no one would ever know it or think of it unless God had made it plain. The Son of God becomes man. He lived the life of sacrifice and love. He died in the place of sinners. He took the curse. He rose from the dead. We are justified by faith. All races are going to be reconciled to God on that day. And Christ should dwell in our hearts and seal us for glory. And so the reason we pray is so that people receive the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, all around the world. If you're not praying about anything, pray that people will receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's our direct involvement through wise conduct and speech. The Message Bible of talking from Colossians 4, 5 and 6, it says this, use your heads. Good to do that. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them, what? Not put them down. Not cut them out. And so wherever we live, work, play, these verses should apply. And Paul is giving us a remarkable, positive and happy angle on talking with those outside the church. And Paul has in view accomplishing as much spiritual good as we can in these relationships. Don't miss a trick. Life is a series of never repeated opportunities. You know, the other day I was at the gymnasium and my friend was there that happens to work just up the road, but he was been paying a lot of money. He said he needed the motivation to pay a personal trainer. And he says he wasn't feeling that well and he shouldn't really be there. And I felt that little prompting. And I'm thinking, well, the personal trainer's here now, so now I've got, I don't know what she might be thinking. It was a lady personal trainer. And but I know her a little bit. And so I said, well, shall I pray for you? And he goes, I think that's a good idea, Nigel. So I laid my hands on him, and I literally did just put my hands. He said he had, he'd been struggling with the flu, and he had a really sore neck, which he blamed the personal trainer for. He's probably right. Anyway, put his hands on his neck, and the personal trainer's just, yeah, that's good, pray. And I'm kind of like, you know what? Who cares? I might as well just be who I am. I'm the pastor. I can't be anybody else. But does it make any difference who we are if we've got Christ in our hearts? We can do the same. You might be young in your faith. You might be a little bit older in your faith. You might be a bit stale in your faith. Well, the best thing you can do is actually do something like that. You'll suddenly wake up to what God can do in your life. And so now I'm praying for two people. It's gone from one at the gym to now two. And she lives in Fremantle, this lady, and I see her often at cafes because I like my coffee. She does too, I believe. A personal trainer that likes coffee, I like that. And so now we've got this conversation happening and she knows exactly where I stand. That's better than not knowing, isn't it? So there's something happening right there. And so there's prayer in the background that's developed, that I'm developing. Lord, I'm not sure the personal trainer will make it to Christmas this year, but my other friend might. And I'm thinking, well, it doesn't matter. There's a process. The process has begun. And we can let it drop, and I can let it drop. If I decide just to stop praying, it's a spiritual battle. There's bombs being dropped all over the place because the devil doesn't want Christ to be Lord of anybody's life. So use your heads. See, I was at the varicose vein center the other day. I've got a big bandage on my foot. I'm cross-dressing on my left leg, actually. It's a, what do you call it? Yeah, well, I could show you. It's actually a, I've forgotten what it's called. Stocking. Oh, serious? Well, it feels like I'm cross-dressing. I can assure you, I'm as straight as they can be. But anyway, the point is, I have to keep this thing on my leg for about 6 weeks because I've had... some of you are probably a bit squirmish, but anyway, I had 6 needles in my veins because they were really starting to pop out quite a lot. And I'm at the varicose vein center, WA Vascular Center it's called, and I was out there and I'd had all the tests, and then the nurse comes in. And because I was getting injections in my leg, I just had a pair of shorts on, a t-shirt, And we start a conversation, and she says to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm a pastor of a church." She goes, "No way." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "No way." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You are not a pastor of a church." I said, "I am." She goes, "Pastors don't look like that." I said, "What do pastors look like?" She said, "Not like you." Andrew's saying she was hitting on me. I don't mind what she was doing. I really don't. The point was, there's a point to this. You know. And so she realised that I really was a pastor, obviously. And she said, "You know, my father, he was really one of those Aussie blokes that was against church, although he didn't even know about church, and he never went, but he always used to ridicule them. But my mum always said, you could always tell that God was there because he was, whenever you wanted to do something you weren't quite sure, there'd be that inner voice." The door started to open. Inside, I'm thinking, "Come on, Lord, there's an opportunity here." Shook a bunch of shabba. You know, I'm just, "Come on, God." I'm like, "What are we going to do here?" So I'm praying in the spirit. And she goes, "I've always felt that." Talking about, you know, her inner voice. She says, "That has kept me." And I said, she goes, "But then," she says, "the only real experience I've had with religion at all is through a friend of mine who was a Jehovah's Witnesses. So I went once," she said, "but I felt really controlled and I didn't want to go back." Doors open wider. Yeah? Yeah? The door's right open. And so I said to her, "It's not what you have to do." She actually mentioned the word that they felt a bit cultish. And I said, it's not what you do, it's what Christ has already done for you. She goes, tell me a little bit more. I said, don't you want to look at my leg? No, I want you to talk. So I say to her, it's about a relationship. It's not about what we can do, because we can do all sorts of things. But Christ died on the cross. We didn't do anything to deserve it. He just wants us to have relationship with him. We give our life to him because he's taken our sin and everything that's, you know, since you were a child, I said to her. You know right from wrong, yes, she says. It was a moment, and look, I could go on, but for the sake of time, but also, she went away from that meeting realizing that all pastors are not the same. She went away from that meeting, actually, and then we discussed the leg, and, you know, we talked about a few other things that I said, look, you know, he's real. All you got to do is just befriend him. You know how you have those feelings? Just befriend him. And that was that. You know, you got to move on. The doctor wanted to see me. Probably took all of 5 minutes. And you know what? I thought, you know what? That lady, I'm praying for her. I'm probably never going to see her again. But she's one step closer to knowing Christ than what she was before, yes? She's a bit younger than me. Oh, she might have fancied me, I don't know. But the point is, we use this. Andrea seems, the situation is that regardless of all that, God has an opportunity. God. Well, it was going well, but you get the point of it. So let me ask you, how can we buy up every opportunity? One, wise behavior. Turn to your neighbor and say, have wise behavior. Well, at least I'm honest. Everyone knows I'm honest here anyway. Two, gracious speech. Gracious speech. When some of us need to say that more often than not. Gracious speech. Come on, say it with me. Gracious speech. And thirdly, individual attention. We've got to have individual attention with people. And so be wise. Use your heads as you live and work amongst outsiders. Be wise. Conduct yourselves wisely. Wisdom is knowing how to become all things to all men without compromising the word of God in your life. And this is why prayer in your own life and for others and asking others to pray for you is so important. You need to be creative. You need tact. You need thoughtfulness when you're speaking with those. And it's always just a brief encounter, isn't it? So how do we have common sense wisdom? Well, the Bible. You've got to read the Word of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, read the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God. Have sound counselors around you, experienced through your walk with Him, who have trained themselves. Gracious speech. You know, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, the New King James Version says on this verse. And what we say about Christ and who we really are should make the Christian life sound and look as appetizing as possible. Why do people, I was thinking about this because Andrew and I went out to a really expensive restaurant, which my family bought for me as a present for my 50th birthday. And the place was packed. And I thought about this. Why do people go out to an expensive restaurant and spend more money than they need to in order to fill their tummies? Or maybe even not fill their tummies. Right? Because the more expensive, the less you get, right? Well, that's my experience. You know, I don't like picky bits. I'm a good bloke. I like a lot of food. But anyway, so we received this posh restaurant voucher for St. George's Terrace in the city. So we went along. I won't give you the name of the restaurant, but it was good. And once we were seated, we were waited on extremely well, but not intrusively. And both Andrew and I asked questions about the food that we were going to, thinking about ordering, and he answered extremely, he knew his stuff, he was knowledgeable. He was interacting with us, but not too much. Asked if I'd like another drink, Andrew liked another, but not over the top. Nothing was too much for our personal waiter. The food was magnificent. I would have liked a bit more, but it was magnificent. The service was first class. The experience was, as my wife would put it, delightful. Very feminine word, but it works. So how can you develop the ability to speak about Christ so that there is an appetizing flavor to it? How can you make people's mouths water? It's very simple. Spend time every day reminding yourself from Scripture why the gospel tastes so good. And like at a good restaurant, it's not that you have to read pages and pages. Take a little bit and mull over it and enjoy it, and God will use what you've read to speak to others about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the keenness of our taste buds grows dull without His word refreshing us daily. And Paul is saying to the Colossians that the best way to be an advertisement, an advertisement for satisfying tastes of Jesus, is to enjoy Him yourself. And then there's individual attention. The goal is to bring out the best in others in conversation. The person should receive individual attention. You know, my mate at the gym, he looked to his personal trainer at the end of the prayer when I'd laid his hand when he's had a sore neck, and he goes, "That's why I like this guy so much," and patted me on the back. And that was that. We got back to our training. And I thought, gee, I actually didn't think I did much. But to them, it means a lot. We need wisdom. I needed wisdom for the nurse at the vascular centre. We need wisdom to break down those spiritual walls. Pick up the walkie-talkie and support the stormtroopers. Will you support our leadership coming into this Christmas season? Will you pray for us? Be persistent and watchful. And buy up every opportunity through gracious speech and wise conduct, with a splash of individual attention. Set our eyes on Christ through His word, through prayer for others, not just ourselves, seeking out opportunities to satisfy the soul longings in others. This is the mission of the Christian. Pick up your walkie-talkie. Come on, do it with me. Pick up your walkie-talkie. Let's get ready. Pick up your walkie-talkie. You got to push the button, okay? You got to have it on. Yeah, come on, so you're a kids leader. Oh, this looks dumb. This is stupid. Thank you, Lord. I can just talk in my normal language about my friends, about those who don't know You, and I'm going to see people get closer to You, and some of my friends are going to receive You in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Father, today we pray that You will bring, Lord, Your favor on us this Christmas. Lord, in these coming weeks, I pray that we would have opportunity after opportunity, and that we would recognize that it is a war and we're in a spiritual battle, and the bombs are dropping all around us to stop the effectiveness of the gospel. But just like Paul, in prison you broke open those doors, and I pray that you will continue to break open doors in people's lives as we talk about or pray with those who don't know you as Lord of their life yet. The people of God said, amen. Amen.